My subject this morning is actually different than usually because I will be giving a report on the ministers' conference, but I do want to connect it with the Word of God. First, I want to read Acts chapter 13, verse 1-5. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, listen carefully, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke. And he said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, I would like to add even more, they didn't stop when the Holy Spirit spoke. They kept on fasting and praying. They placed their hands on these young men and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. The early church did everything by prayer and fasting. They didn't just think of an election. They didn't just think of some service that needs to be organized. They started and ended with prayer and fasting. Isn't that amazing? And God really showed his glory in their midst. Without prayer and adding fasting, we cannot expect God to do much, can we? Because this is our connection that we have. Prayer and fasting is absolutely needed in our day and time. And I think it's also very healthy for us. And I try to practice it as best I can. I try to improve on it, that I do more of fasting and praying. But worshiping the Lord and fasting are indeed a great opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come in and to speak to us, to communicate God's will and God's direction to us. We need to remember this in everything that we do. God wants to be honored, but our hearts need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Our church, our congregational ministries need to be bathed in prayer, need to be filled and guided by the Holy Spirit. When a Sunday school teacher teaches a lesson, they need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to communicate the Word of God to the children and young people. When we sing in the choir, we need to be anointed singers, filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing less. We need to ask the Holy Spirit every week to be in our midst. And as we pray and fast week after week, guess what will happen? Our services will be more Spirit-filled. And that's what we need today more than ever. Well, this is my mini sermon before my report. When we meet as pastors, we are fully aware of our great dependence on the Lord and how weak we really are if we don't have the strength of the Holy Spirit. On our own, we're nothing. That's why we pray a lot on our knees. Sometimes I think I need to buy me some knee cushions, you know, for the ministers' conference, because we're on our knees a lot, every day. I want to first discuss a few issues that were discussed at the conference. We started on Wednesday morning. Pastor Lang is the chairman of the ministerial committee. And the way it works is the ministerial committee is combined of all the pastors, whether they're in Bolivia or in the States or in Canada, we are actually incorporated as a ministerial association. We're incorporated in Nebraska, I understand, as a ministerial association. And so Pastor Lang is the chairman. Others in the committee are Brother Briggs, Pastor Rosler, and Pastor Enns. And this committee is especially responsible to organize the meeting of the pastors' meeting, to kind of have the oversight of the entire meeting, and also the oversight of pastors and congregations and the selection and ordination of young pastors and the like. We discussed the Christian Unity Press, CUP. As you have seen in the last few months, we have the Foundation of Faith, that is the English version of the Evangelium Posaune, which used to be printed in German for many, many years. Now we have both. We have the German version and the English version. We cannot use the Gospel Trumpet as it used to be because that name is already taken by another group in the States. So we are, the Christian Unity Press is printing those periodicals and also printing our adult Bible study booklets that we use on Wednesday night. Actually, those are Sunday school lessons, but we use them on most Wednesday nights. Pastor Nims is the editor of the German Evangelium Posaune, actually the English one as well, and there are brothers in the publication committee that are assisting him. Some of the brothers that assist him are Pastor Schultz in Ontario and Pastor Zemenjuk, and then one brother out of Germany. And now Brother Enns is supposed to help too, as well, as far as I know. Or was it Brother Klinger? I'm not too sure. But anyway, these periodicals are being distributed for free right now. And so we discussed the various aspects of it. In Spanish, they are now distributed in Mexico and in South America. In South America, the reader circle is over 500 at this time, and they are printed in Argentina. Almost the exact same copies, they're just translated into the various languages. So we're glad that the word is getting out. And in South America, the excitement is really strong. They add about 100 or over 100 readers every year. So that is wonderful. Now, the question was raised whether to move the printing press from York, Nebraska, to either to the congregation in Texas, in Seminole, or to Michigan. Both of those church properties are deeded to the Christian Unity Press, so they would have no problem in as far as relocating there is concerned, and next year a final decision is supposed to be made after all the information is gathered about that. And then we heard mission field reports. Many of us pastors had assignments to go on mission trips last year. We heard reports from Bolivia from the two pastors that are actually there on a permanent basis, Pastor Thiessen and Pastor Steben. And there's good reports of people getting saved and being baptized, and they have schools there now at two places and services at two places. In Bolivia, they need a church at the new place where it's called Valle Esperanza or Esperanza. And that's where Brother Steben is, and they also plan to hire a young person to start helping out with Brother Thiessen at his place. And so a lot of prayers need to go into that. And I understand, I think there's a possibility that Brother and Sister Neufeld, John Neufeld, will most likely travel to Bolivia either this year or early next year. We heard reports, of course, from Argentina, which I gave here. And then Mexico, they have two churches there now. Neustadt used to be a larger church, and now some of their people started a new church and school at a place where they live close by. And so, and the new place already has between 80 to 100 visitors on every Sunday. And Pastor Friesen's father, Brother Peter Friesen, is now pastoring that church, and he was at the conference as well, and we were glad to hear good reports from there. They have over 300 children in this school there, and have the opportunity, it's a Christian school, to really minister to those children and their families. We heard reports from Russia, from the Philippines, and from Kenya. Brother Krebs out of Chilliwack, and I think Brother Klinger will be going to Kenya later this year. Brother Schuler will travel to Argentina this year in the fall, and Brother Elke to Bolivia. Brother Reimer from Barhead will travel to Germany, and then from there together with a German brother to Russia to minister in their large services. It is getting harder and harder to get a visitor's permit to Russia. And so the brothers feel it is important that we do it as long as possible. Then we talked about churches without pastors, and we don't even just talk about these issues. We pray for every single one of these needs. Swartz Creek, Michigan, a great church is in need of a pastor. Pastor Makis retired last year. They've been without a pastor now for almost a year. And Brother Lang and Brother Nims, especially Brother Nims, have helped out a lot there, and they are praying for a steady pastor. Toronto needs a steady pastor. At this time, Brother Gerhard Mielke is, as a retired school teacher, is helping out in Toronto. It's going well, but it's not a permanent solution, so he is only helping out. And so there are those needs. Then we talked about the Bible course. This year, the Bible course will be August 12th through the 23rd. And that is in Aylmer, Ontario again. Now, we had spoken with the Board of Trustees here before, and the request has been made from several of our people if the Bible course could come here one year. And so we're planning and praying to have the Bible course here in the year 2014, and the dates are August 11th through the 22nd. That is over a year from now, but as with all things, time is going by quickly, so let's plan and pray for that. I think it will be really great, especially for young people, if we can take part in that course. Next year's pastors and the CMB meetings are going to be later than this year. We have been invited to meet in Kelowna in April of next year, and that will be April 23rd through the 25th as a ministers' conference, and the CMB meeting will be on April 26th next year, 2014, in Kelowna at their congregation. Now, we also have invited the conference to come to Winnipeg in 2015, which is in 2 years from now. We hope that we will have a lot of help and preparations that need to be done. It is only 5 days, so I think we could manage it. So now I want to talk about the spiritual aspects of what we discussed and the presentations that were made. The devotions each day. The first one was the elements of ministry. What are the elements of biblical ministry? Pastor Taryn shared, and he read out of the book of Acts chapter 6 with an emphasis on how the early church was led by the Holy Spirit, and they prayed over every important decision. They didn't move unless the Spirit moved. And I thought it was a good reminder. And even serving tables, when we think of the deacons in the book of Acts, serving tables required the men to be of good reputation, full of faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. And the question was raised, why should we lower the standard and expect less today? It's a good question. Then Pastor Triebiger shared the next morning seven simple objectives of ministry. First, the elements of ministry, then objectives of ministry. In the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul lays out objectives for ministry, for us pastors, that can assist us in keeping our focus. And he briefly touched on these seven simple objectives that every pastor should keep in mind. And they are to organize, teach, declare, exhort, rebuke, remind, and avoid. These are all in the book of Titus. And the brother was able to put a verse to every one of those. Actually, he took these objectives out of the verses, but he read all the verses, and I can't go into details of all of that. The third day, the devotional was presented by Brother Gary Glantz, and the issue was, how do we deal with fear? Fear in our lives in general, fear in ministry. What do we as pastors fear the most? Well, I mentioned right away, I fear failure. But then there were other suggestions. We tend to fear people. And ridicule or intimidation, or we fear pain, we fear heartaches. And most people are fearful of something. And the brother read out of Isaiah chapter 51, verse 7, where the Lord says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." And he encouraged us to stay fearless when it comes to proclaiming the Word of God, when it comes to following the leading of the Holy Spirit, to not be afraid to do what is right. And it was encouraging. So then there were special study topics that were presented. And it was interesting. We had some in German. Most of it was in English. And the first one was Pastoral Ethics by Pastor Bricks from Chilliwack. He is a retired pastor. He presented this in German. And he emphasized the importance to remember that we pastors are and remain servants of God, called to duty that God has for us. And he said there is actually no retirement. He said sometimes his wife tells him, "Well, you are no longer a pastor." He said, "No, I am. I am a servant of the Lord." And he had a scripture to back that up. And our work needs to be done in humility and confidentiality, and according to the order and the Word of God. And so he went on to give us practical tips that we should always remember where we came from, how God has saved us from the pit of sin and the slimy pit, and given us grace, and that we walk in this grace because we are called to serve God, who gave us spiritual responsibilities to fulfill. Brother Bricks went on to give more tips about how we should deal with each other as pastors. It has been well known that, and I've heard this before, that some professions, they're very hard on each other. And if we pastors are hard on each other's or we don't have the right attitude toward each other, the Holy Spirit can be hindered. He can be resisted silently through that. And especially when there are changes in pastors and congregations, when a congregation changes pastors, what does the former pastor do? If he's no longer at the place and people call him and say, you know, what this new pastor is doing, I mean, you would not approve of this. You know, what do we do? If I'm no longer at that place as a pastor, my ethics are that I have to tell the people, look, you need to deal with that at your place because I'm no longer there. I'm no longer your pastor. It is difficult sometimes because we are human. Anyway, the next presentation was done by Pastor Gerald Krebs from Chilliwack. He talked about the pastor counseling and premarital counseling. Brother Krebs started by covering some important points on counseling in general. The pastor as a counselor, personal characteristics of an effective counselor, the role of the counselor, and then he covered especially and took most of the time to discuss biblical premarital counseling. In today's times, many marriages break apart and good spiritual counseling is becoming a must for young couples when they want to get married. And we need to prepare not only for the wedding, but for a lifelong relationship, for a relationship that is done with God, is the covenant is made with God, and then the marriage can last. And he said, everything that was in my heart, all these years already, I discovered many years ago that premarital counseling is of utmost importance. And yet what I notice is that young couples, that's kind of, they want to just push that aside. They want to do that. Well, yeah, I know what you want to say, but they don't pay real close attention. And it bothers me sometimes because this is more important than the wedding itself. And so Pastor Krebs showed us a lot of good things and good tips about the spiritual counsel, also referred to resources that can be used for premarital counseling. One of the things that he showed was very, very great. He showed us on the projector a triangle. And if you envision a triangle, at the bottom you have the woman, you have the man, and the closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other. I thought that is beautiful. The closer we draw to God as married couples, the closer we get to each other. We become not one in flesh only, but we become one in spirit and one in God. That's beautiful. So Brother Klinger shared about stress. How do we manage and deal with stress? Well, I wish I could say that we pastors never have any stress. I mean, stress. Why should a pastor, of all people, have stress? He knows how to deal with stress. I mean, he preaches, cast all your burdens onto the Lord and he will care for you. So the pastor should not have a care in the world, right? Guess what? We're people. And we have stress. And we have to deal with stress. Some of the things that he presented were really, really of importance. All of the things were very important, but some of them just stood out to me. And that is 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians' offices are related to stress. 75 to 90%. According to the American Institute of Stress. 60% of work absenteeism, of being absent from work, 60% of people that call in sick is actually stress-related. Physicians often treat symptoms with medication, but it's not really a long-term solution to stress. Webster's dictionary says stress is a physical, chemical, and emotional factor that causes bodily or mental tension and may be a factor in disease causation, may cause diseases. The body's response to stress is that it involves more than 1,400 physical and chemical reactions affecting more than 30 different hormones. Excessive release of stress hormones damages cells, tissues, and organs. Internalizing stress creates a chronic condition much more damaging over time than occasional large negative events. That means that if we have constant stress and we don't get out of that cycle, it has serious consequences. So the brother read a scripture out of Isaiah chapter 40, a very, very important verse that helps us as pastors to deal with stress. And that is 32:31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So our solution, our answer as pastors, from a biblical perspective, to deal with stress is going to the Bible and waiting on the Lord. Stress is, of course, always related to when we feel hasted, when we feel in a hurry. It was interesting, the morning that Pastor Klinger was presenting this subject, we were running late because I was a little late, and we picked him up from Mark and Andrea's place, and then we hit traffic here on the 59. I thought, of all the days, that was the only day that we hit the traffic, and we lost at least 10 minutes just on that end there. So it was a little stressful just getting there, talking about stress. That's how we pastors deal with it sometimes, or have to deal with it. So I want to encourage us to look to the Lord for solutions about stress. And then Pastor Jeminjuk gave a presentation on visiting the sick. And it was refreshing for me to hear those thoughts. It was not something I had not heard before, because years ago I took part in a chaplaincy course for 11 weeks full time and learned most of those things. But it was very, very well done. He spoke of experience of the importance to visit the sick. When somebody is sick in the hospital, what happens? What happens to someone who has surgery? You know that there is no minor surgery. Like some people say, oh, this is a minor surgery. A surgery is a surgery. It's an invasion into the body, a cut or something is being done, a procedure. And that is no small thing to anyone. And some of us may take it better than others, but often we pastors struggle to find words of comfort and encouragement when we visit the sick. It's not that we always come ready, we have all the answers, and we know all of this stuff. No. I'm very much aware of it too. When I visit a sick person, I cannot say, well, I know exactly how you feel. I've been there. I can't say that. I haven't been there. I don't know what that person is going through. But God knows. And our duty is to give the sick hope, not false hope. If there is no hope of healing, we shouldn't say, God will heal you and I will pray for you, you will be healed. If we know in our hearts that won't happen because everything is going towards the end, we need to be there to answer questions, to minister, to be there as God's representatives. A sick person often, when the reality of sickness hits, and many of us have experienced that, we feel the loss of control, of dignity. If someone is in the hospital and constantly the people go in and out, you can't really rest in the hospital like it is sometimes, you know. They wake you up to give you a sleeping pill. Well, you know, I mean, just let me sleep. That's the lot you have when you're in the hospital. You don't have the privacy. You don't have the control, the dignity that you wish you had. That is lost. And then the emotional and mental anguish and pain that people go through. Even believers, we can go through a lot of emotions and even feeling angry at God or angry at ourselves or comparing ourselves with others. Why does this happen to me? I mean, I wasn't as bad as so-and-so and others are healthy, and why does this happen to me? That was good insights that were given there. A Christian in the hospital or suffering is an opportunity for Satan often also to discourage and discourage a child of God into hopelessness. And we as pastors need to be reminded of that. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it says this about Jesus. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Now, Jesus, the Master, was moved with compassion. And this compassion is very important for any minister, for any visitor that visits in the hospital. We should never indicate and say that this disease is definitely a punishment from God. That could really backfire on us. Anyway, it was very, very good. Pastor Zemjuk also shared some bed manners that we pastors need to remember. It was, as I said, a reminder that I appreciate very much. The last presentation was done by Pastor Miller from Seminole, Texas. And I must say, it was challenging. I was glad to hear it, but it was challenging. He talked about ministry of outreach, practical tools for ministry outreach. What does it mean to reach out? What does it mean for a congregation to reach out to those around us? Does outreach ministry scare us? Outreach ministry is and must be a team effort. It must be always together. First of all, we need to build on the work of others. We need to remember as pastors that we have come into the work of others. Others have labored before us. They have prayed and fasted and worked hard before us. And we have come into that labor. We need to remember that. But then also pray that God would help us to make sacrifices to reach out and evangelize and invite others to come to Christ and to church. One of the misconceptions about outreach ministry is that small churches are more spiritual than large churches. That's a myth. That's not necessarily true. Or large churches are more spiritual because they have all these programs and they can do a lot more and all of that. No, that's not necessarily the sign of a good, healthy spiritual church. Outreach ministry is and must remain all about souls finding the Savior. And then he said, we also need to be aware. Sometimes God will prompt us to leave certain traditions in the past. What worked many, many years ago may not work today anymore. We need to remember that. And the brother challenged us about traditions, about likes and dislikes. We need to stop just sitting in church and thinking, well, I like this and I like that and I don't like this and I don't like that. We need to ask ourselves, are we really inviting others to come to Christ? Is that most important? Or is it our traditions that are more important? It was a challenge. I liked it. The goal should be to increase opportunities to share the gospel as individuals and as the church. To draw as many people as possible into our fellowship. Why? So that the good news of the gospel can be heard and can be accepted and people have the opportunity to make a decision for their souls, for their eternal life. The interesting thing is, and he shared this as well, that new families that come to our congregations, they invite others to come, but the old families, they have stopped inviting anybody. It's like some of us, we have the attitude, no, I don't want anybody new to come to our church because I want to keep it my way that I have here, my tradition, that's more important. And we should watch it. We should watch our attitude. So we should invite others and acquaintances to church. We should expect people to want to come to church and hear God's word. That is absolutely important. But if we allow the Lord to use us and fast and pray, He will also show us and give us opportunities to serve and reach out to those that are outside and need a Savior. First, we need to learn to serve in the church. To make sure that we are there, that we are really with it, that our hearts are in it. Our hearts are not somewhere else, but our hearts are here. Our hearts are in the ministry. Our hearts are reaching out to those that are not in relationship with God. In Seminole, and I'm always glad to hear good reports of Seminole because we pastored that church the first 8 years. Back in 86, we began, actually in 85, we began services there, and the church is growing, and they're building a new facility, and Pastor Miller is busy almost night and day. I mean, I warned him, I said, don't burn yourself out. I said, I think you're overworking. He said, well, I've learned some important lessons already. One time he was on his back for 3 days, is totally exhausted. But they spend over $7,000 every year just on Vacation Bible School. And he showed a picture there with our first Vacation Bible School that we had in 1986 with 28 children. And now they have Vacation Bible School with over 200 children every year. And they go all out. They have a whole team of people and they spend over $7,000 on that 1 week or 2 weeks. I'm not sure if they do 2 weeks or 1 week. But the Vacation Bible School is an outreach where they get in contact with families and then they go and do follow-up visits. They help families with whatever they can, whatever their needs are, and invite them to come to church. They expect them to be there. Especially on program night, they go all out and have the church full of people, hundreds of people. This was very interesting to me how that Vacation Bible School has accumulated to that. Let's pray for the ministries and outreach of the church. Let's not be stingy and say, well, we don't need to spend money on that. That may not help or whatever. No, we need to have willing hearts and let us be led by the Holy Spirit. Two scriptures and then I want to close. Acts chapter 8 verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, Philip was one of the apostles. Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The angel of the Lord told Philip, go. He didn't tell him every detail of what will happen. He just said, go. I want to send you there. I want to send you there right now. You need to obey me right now because this is urgent. One soul was supposed to be saved. And we know the rest of the story, what happened there. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, 19 and 20, Jesus said to the apostles, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Not just one race, not just one nation or one culture, of all nations. In other words, we need to have a heart that is open. We need to have a church. Our church doors need to be open to every race that is out there that we welcome them here. I'm praying for Asian families to come in. I'm praying for black families to come in. Wouldn't that be scary? Maybe for some of us. But we need to pray that this will be fulfilled because Jesus has told us so. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them. That's a command in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this command, this commission that Jesus gave is not outdated. It is still there for us to follow. And I want to conclude with this. The Bible's message to us is go and obey. Are we willing? And it starts on a small scale. First of all, it starts with us being faithful, believing that God will glorify His name, that God will move by and through His Holy Spirit. And then building relationships with fellow believers and then invite others to come and join us in worshiping the Lord. Praying and fasting for the needs of the community, not only for our own needs. I know we have a lot of prayer lists oftentimes, so we need to start praying for the needs of our community, of our neighbors, of our acquaintances, even at work. Let's pray for them. We can't mention every single one of those, but if you have a list of prayer needs and bring them to the Lord will honor that and will show Himself faithful. May God bless us as we think on these things. That concludes kind of the message of the, in summary, of the ministers' conference. I hope you had a blessing from it. Let's stand for prayer.